time for overtime. Mark Grandy, Kyle Madsen, and Sterling Bennett with analysis, sound from the locker room, and your reaction to the game. When the clock hits zero, we bring you overtime. Take it away, boys.
Disaster. Absolute, abject disaster at Levi's Stadium. I'm Kyle Madsen, no Mark Grandy today. Sterling Bennett with me, and we will try and sift through the wreckage of another 10-point fourth-quarter collapse for the San Francisco 49ers. Sterling, what's going on, man?
Painful. What did we just watch? San Francisco, NFC West opponent, 10-point lead, fourth quarter. What's the worst that can possibly happen? Two times in a row against the NFC West, San Francisco has the Rams dead to rights. The Cardinals dead to rights. The Cardinals scored, 14 unanswered points against your defense? Did San Francisco score any points in the second half? My goodness, you have a near MVP quarterback. Kyle Shanahan's your head coach. You have all pros everywhere. And you can't score one touchdown? You're 1-6 in the red zone? You want to go to a Super Bowl? You want to go to the playoffs? You got to beat the Cardinals that got 40 points put up against them against the Commanders last week, which, credit to those guys, great. Jaden Daniels playing great football. You're the San Francisco 49ers with almost all your all-pros out there. What is this? This is subpar, below 500, inexcusable level of football being played through five games so far.
We're at a place now where I don't think you get to use the excuse of, oh, well, hey, if this play goes right and that play goes right, no, you're a 2-3 football team and you've now done this twice.
Yeah.
This is just a bad team right now. And I know they have all these good players, but dude, what the hell is going on at safety? Their linebacker play is terrible. Their defensive line is not good enough. Their offensive line is on its best day mid. And Brock Purdy today was bad. Like, Brock did not have a good game. And when that's going to happen, if your quarterback's not going to carry you while your defense can't get a stop in the second half, and I totally understand. I get it. They didn't have a field goal kicker, and that changes the calculus of how you go about it. And maybe if Jake Moody had been healthy, maybe they score points a couple of times in the fourth quarter, and maybe they're able to just put that game out of reach. But the larger issues are still there.
Yeah.
How is Jordan Mason fumbling that ball at the end of the game? How are you not getting in his ear and saying, hey, the only thing you can't do right now is fumble, especially when you're bottled up in the backfield and you're not going anywhere? Tuck the ball. Hold it. It just, you have the Juwan Jennings false start on the 2nd and 9 on the one trip to the red zone. And what makes the red zone stuff worse is that you just said it. They were 1-for-6 today. On 5 of those, they had goal-to-go situations and they couldn't punch in a touchdown. If they had just lost Christian McCaffrey last week and they're adjusting to life without him, okay, that's fine. You went through all of training camp, all of the preseason, and you've now gone through 5 weeks of NFL football and you still can't figure out how to put the ball in the end zone without Christian McCaffrey on the field? It's a disaster, dude. That is bottom line. There's no nice way to slice it. There's no, oh, almost this, almost that. No. This team stinks. That's what I've got.
And the worst part about it is, we harped on special teams for 4 weeks. They've hurt this team. Today, they helped this team. They scored 7 points. You get a blocked field goal. You get a return for a touchdown. Great, you're playing with house money. The literal worst positional group in football got you 7 points. You got house money. All you got to do is run the football, get a few first downs, put the ball in the end zone once. Give me one touchdown. Again, no Jake Moody. Okay, fine. You can't score 3 points here or there. Then why is the red zone mentality not, oh, it's fourth down. Mm-hmm. We're going to pass 4 times in a row and not run the football at all. And then when they run the football, the first play in the red zone near the end of the game, they fumble the football. And it's like, what's going right? Now, there are so many things that do go right. You're up 23-10 or 23-13, 10-point lead, great. 2-score lead. We have an amazing offense. They're moving the ball down the field at will against a bad Cardinals defense.
Yep.
It wasn't getting to the red zone. It was scoring once you got to the red zone. And I think, at least I did, that, okay, George Kittle scores in the second drive. This is going to be a different day for San Francisco. Yep. Nope. Throw all of that out the window. This was the exact same bad team, bad red zone offense, poor on third down defense in the second half we saw 2 weeks ago against the Rams. And I'm sorry, when you lose against two of the worst teams in football, and you can't score on two of the worst defenses and secondaries in football. The Cardinals ranked 30th in the entire league in defense. The Rams ranked 32nd in defense. Why can't this offense score? Where is the disconnect? Is it run the football twice? Is it just screen passes here or there? Yes, there's critical mistakes, but it's execution. Teams that are this good, players getting paid amount of money that Ayuk's getting paid, who was phenomenal today.
Really good.
Debo was non-existent today. Kittle was great in the first half, not much in the second half. Where are the guys you're paying big money to? I'm tired of seeing Brock Purdy drop back on first down 35 times a game when you have a 10-point lead. If anything, you get 40 seconds off the clock easy, but the first down run. And my money's on Jordan Mason getting you at least 2 or 3 yards.
Yep.
Okay, cool. It's 2nd and 7, 2nd and 6. It gives you a 3rd and manageable. San Francisco continually fights against themselves when they're up by 10 in the fourth quarter. It's just so overwhelmingly frustrating that this team is so damn good. But simultaneously, they're so damn bad when it matters most.
Yep. Yep. I don't quite understand it. Hopefully you guys listening can help us make some sense of it. 888-957-9570. That's the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. That's also the Comcast business text line, 888-957-9570. You're listening to Overtime. I'm Kyle Madsen. No Mark Grandin today. Sterling Bennett is rocking with me to try and make sense of this disaster. Brock Purdy, 19 completions today. 16 of them to Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle. One catch for Juwan Jennings, one for Debo Samuel, one for Jordan Mason. You cannot have that.
Nope.
It's not like Debo's banged up. Juwan Jennings a little banged up with the hand early on, but Purdy just missed him on a couple of throws. He had a touchdown throw, underthrew him. Had another shot at the end zone and just kind of airmailed it. Just a strange day. I didn't think Brock was good enough today. The defense was disgusting. I don't know what to make of this team right now. But I can tell you they're not very good, because you don't blow two 10-point fourth quarter leads against division rivals and get to call yourself a contender. I'm sorry. Like, you have to earn that title every single year, and you can be a contender going into the year, but what we know about this team through 5 weeks is that they're not good. And there's no looking at this and going, oh, well, and like I said, maybe if Jake Moody's healthy, okay, yeah, that's fine, but losing your kicker shouldn't completely derail your chances to win a game when you have Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle and a quarterback like Brock Purdy who's going to make $60-plus million next year.
San Francisco is just like, they get these big leads, they're feeling good, they're feeling confident, and I don't know if it's they take their foot off the gas. And again, obviously Jake Moody being hurt does affect what they can do in the red zone. Maybe it's 2 field goals,
sure.
They have 29 points, they win 29-24, it's okay, whatever, woo, we escaped. But the fact is that none of that matters, because you're 2-3. I don't care how many games Jake Moody misses, I don't care if they have to call Robbie Gould out of retirement, call TB12 from the booth down and say, give me a field goal, Brady. Do whatever you got to do. Like, if Kyle Juszczyk's making field goals, by all means, get it done. But you're 2-3. You have the exact same record as the team you just lost to, which are the Cardinals, who, no offense to those guys, have been one of the worst teams in the second half all year. They have been a 15 scripted plays, boom or bust offense. That is what they do. They get out to an early lead, and they fumble things late.
Yep.
San Francisco were the Arizona Cardinals today. Early lead, riding high. The Cardinals scored 14 unanswered points in the second half. San Francisco, with Brock Purdy, who's going to get $65-plus million next year, Jordan Mason, top two in rushing coming into this game, where the Cardinals gave up an average of 149 yards per game on the ground. You lose to that team? To a defense in the secondary that had 5 players with a 100-plus passer rating allowed? My goodness. I was thinking, oh, 40 points. If the Commanders can do it, why can't we do it? Now I'm sitting here like, can we get 24? Can the offense score more than 16 points in a game at this point? This is a disaster.
Yep.
We were talking 4-0, 5-0. What a great beginning to the season for San Francisco opponent-wise. And it's like, holy crap. Can this team win 8 games, 9 games this year? Is this a playoff team? A wild card team? Like, this is emergency panic mode, full go, DEFCON 1, DEFCON 5, whatever the worst one is, hit it and start yelling and screaming. Like, this is bad. Bad, bad, bad.
They have to turn around and now play Thursday in Seattle. And then you got to come home to play the Chiefs. And then you got to stay at home to play the Cowboys.
Can't wait.
Just super fun. Can't wait to be locked in here on Overtime. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'd love to hear from you. Frustrations, silver linings, where'd this game go wrong? I know where I think the game went wrong, but David in San Francisco said he's disappointed, and that's certainly one word for it. David, you're on Overtime. What's going on, man?
Oh, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I sat down expecting a win today. They were ahead, and it just turned into a big disaster. Nothing personal about the fumble or the turnover. It's really hot. I think the Cardinals are better in hot weather. But I'm really, like, the Seattle was losing. We had everything in place to be tied with Seattle. I don't know if they won in the last couple minutes here, but it's just really disappointing. It's like sound the alarms, like you said.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No doubt. Thanks for the call, David. On the Comcast Business text line, the 408 says it perfectly. I don't want to hear no Super Bowl talk. Win a divisional game. Yeah, I'm with you.
0-2 now.
You don't get to. Yeah, you don't get to walk around going, "Hey, contender." They're not beating Minnesota. I don't know that they're definitely not beating Detroit right now. They can't beat anybody in their division.
They can't beat the Rams. They can't beat the Cardinals.
Yeah,
like we're talking about beating an above 500 team. You'd beaten the Jets that go to Europe and can't score, can't play Denver, can't score. Like, my goodness.
So the Seahawks, real quick, David just mentioned the Seahawks game. The Seahawks were lining up for a game-tying field goal with a minute left. It was blocked by the Giants and returned for a touchdown. So the Seahawks are going to lose at home to the New York football Giants. So, I mean, there's that little silver lining for you. You could be tied with the Seahawks with a win on Thursday, but that's just kind of the point right now.
Yeah, no harm, no foul now.
Yeah, no, everything's good, actually. Hey, we're back on Overtime. Niners.
You're the exact same you were when you walked into today. Everything's okay.
Never been more back. No, man, the play where, because I was, you know, it's they're cruising along today, and they get down into the red zone. They have a 2nd and 9, and I'm like, okay, they're in a pretty good spot here. Eventually, they're going to punch in a touchdown. You punch in a touchdown to go up. It would have put them up 30-13. And, okay, you feel good about that at that point. And then Juwan Jennings has a false start on the 2nd and 9 that moves him to 2nd and 14.
Yep.
And then Brock Purdy loses his mind and scrambles around for 11 seconds and finally has one not go his way, and he loses 9 yards. So now it's
a 10-yard split, though.
Oh,
a 10-yard split.
He ran backwards so fast, you wouldn't believe your eyes. So
negative 15 yards, better than anybody else in the league.
So that's worked a little bit this year, right? You've seen him escape, and he's been incredible. There was a 2nd and 6 earlier in the game where he scrambles around and gets 11 yards. That's all great, but at some point you have to know in the back of your mind, okay, hey, nothing's happening here. I need to throw it away. And instead he takes a 9-yard loss. Now it's 3rd and 23, and you don't have a field goal kicker. Like, there's a situational awareness there that he just did not have. And now it's a 3rd and 23, incomplete. 4th and 23, they got to go for it because you can't punt and you can't kick a field goal. And so they go for it on 4th and 23, and it's dropped by George Kittle, and the Cardinals get good field position after the 4th down. It's baffling how this team continues to, in big spots, choke games away. I like today, 23-21, clock's ticking down to 6 minutes. They're in the red zone, they're cruising, and Jordan Mason just fumbles it.
Yeah.
And that's why I think this is so distressing, is because there's not one thing that we can point to and go, hey, you know what? If they make a trade for a defensive lineman, they're in a good spot. Or, man, if they just add another, or when Christian McCaffrey comes back, they're in a good spot. It's like, hey, it's special teams this week, and it's a drop pass this week. It's a fumble that week. It's the defense that week. There's not one thing you can point to, and that's kind of why this is so frustrating, because we can go down a list of things today, and there are 15 things wrong.
every game, it's something else. In previous games, it was special teams, bad tackling, run defense, coverage, penalties. Today, it was the offense. Mm-hmm. And again, Jake Moody not playing is a big part of this, for sure. San Francisco likely wins this game if Jake Moody is healthy. Hopefully. Mm-hmm. He might miss the kick for all we know. He's been up and down his entire career, but still. Hope he can get healthy soon. Maybe win this game if he's out there. But is that... Is there situational failures? Is that unpreparedness of Kyle telling Brock, and Brock should know this, but hey, don't take a sack here. Throw it away. You don't have to play hero ball. You know, for all the talk of Brock's so great here and Brock's so good here, which Brock is great in a lot of areas, he has pushed this offense to new heights for sure. But in moments like this, we knock Josh Allen for things like this, where... Yep. Just go down, throw the ball away. Like, you don't have to be a hero. You have other weapons, and you have all these ancillary pieces to pick you up if you can't make a play. And also, live to fight another down. The game isn't on the line there. Yep. So what is 2nd and 14, 3rd and 14? Okay, Kittle gets a check down or catches the ball for 8-plus yards. It's 4th and 6. You can't get a chip shot field goal for anybody. You can put me out there. I'll make that. Like, come on. Like, anything. Yep. It's like, sometimes I feel like they're not playing with a fourth down mentality. It's okay. We have to have these big plays and big plays. Like, no. You can have these sustainable, long, grueling drives. And once you get to the red zone, when the opposing defense is exhausted and tired, and they're like, get the oxygen. I can't do this anymore. San Francisco dropped backs 4 times in a row, and you're like, you're giving them a break.
Yep.
They can drop 8 guys back. Like, the Cardinals came into this game after losing to the Commanders, not blitzing, dropping 8 guys in coverage, only rushing 3, 40% of the time against the Commanders. In this game, late in the game for sure, especially in the red zone, they were doing that too.
Mm-hmm.
We know you're going to throw it. You don't trust the running game. And that goes into offensive linemen and stuff. But it's like, sometimes it feels like even the head coach doesn't understand the situation he's in.
Mm-hmm.
You have 4 downs. Play with them. Utilize them. The Cardinals today were utilizing their 4th downs. Okay, you know, 1st and 10, boom, here's 2 yards. 2nd and 8, here's 3 more yards. 3rd and 5, here's 2 more yards. 4th and 2, bang, read option. Murray, 25 yards downfield. Why can't San Francisco do that? Is that a head coaching thing? Is it a quarterbacking thing? It shouldn't be a skill thing, but it's like, why is it a thing?
No idea. No idea. Let's get a call in here. We were talking about Kyle Shanahan. I think that's where a lot of people want to go, just looking at the Comcast business text line. 888-957-9570 if you want to call the show. I'm Kyle Madsen. He's Sterling Bennett. Let's get to Mark in Antioch. Shout out to the 925. Mark said he lost confidence in Kyle Shanahan. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys? I mean, this one here was a gut punch straight to the mouth. Kyle Shanahan doesn't have that killer instinct like his dad, a George Seifert, a Bill Walsh. Second, our tackling. What is going on with our tackling? And somebody on our team has to be able to kick a field goal. Anybody. If we would have gone with the field goal, what was it, in the 3rd quarter or early in the 4th quarter, it would have made a huge difference. I've lost confidence in Shanahan.
Thanks, Mark. I'm not going to begrudge him for not calling field goals with no Jake Moody. And it's a high ankle sprain for Jake Moody, according to Kyle Shanahan. He's talking to reporters in his press conference now. So Jake Moody, likely out a few weeks. But we'll get probably more on that from Shanahan on Monday when he talks on his conference call. Jimmy in Daly City, I see you hanging out. 888-957-9570. You know what? Hey, let's get Jimmy in here right now. He wants to talk about Kyle Shanahan. Jimmy, what's up?
It's just getting frustrating at this point. I don't know what to say. Who is he going to blame this weekend? Honestly, it's just getting to that point where we're losing games we shouldn't lose. We're favored by 7-10 points. It's the same thing over and over again. We should close these games out. It doesn't matter if you don't have a kicker or not. And if you're an offensive genius, you should score more than 0 points in the second half at a home game. It's just pretty standard. Yeah. That's all I have to say. And I'll let you guys take it from here.
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate you. Yeah, that's kind of the thing is I've been really hesitant on the Shanahan stuff. because I think people have tended to overreact with that.
Yeah.
But we're reaching a point, Sterling, where I say you can't point to one thing. And like, hey, typically when that happens, you start to look at the coaching staff. And you start to look at, are they preparing the right way? Are they doing the right things? Are they telling, like you said about Brock Purdy in that second and 14 situation, hey, don't take a sack. Like, you can't push us further out of whatever Mitch Wishnowsky's field goal range is. Everything needs to be neutral or forward. And taking a 9-yard sack in that spot just can't happen. And that, to me, through 5 weeks, and you go, man, this is coaching, whether it's on special teams, whether it's the defensive coordinator, whether it's Kyle Shanahan, everybody now is under a spotlight for me. And like I said, I've been really hesitant to go there, but at this point, I there's no standing in front of Kyle Shanahan anymore. I hate using the term inexcusable. I think it gets thrown around a lot for things that are typically pretty excusable. This happening once, okay, bad. Really bad. Can't happen again. Happens again 2 weeks later. That to me is on the coaching staff. Oh, we lost Sterling. Did I just lose Sterling? All right. We'll get Sterling hooked back up. Nick in Berkeley. I see it. Nick in Berkeley. I hope you're not a Cal guy who was also at the Cal game last night. Tough scene for Bay Area football over the weekend. We'll get to Nick and anyone else who wants to give us a call. 888-957-9570. Want to hear from you. Sounding off. Is it on Kyle Shanahan? Is this on Brock Purdy, Jordan Mason, the 49ers defense? What's going through your mind right now after the 49ers blow another 10-point lead against a division opponent this time? Against the Arizona Cardinals at home, 24-23, your final from Levi Stadium. The Cardinals are victorious. He's Sterling Bennett. I'm Kyle Madsen. This is Overtime. We're on 95.7 The Game.
Back to Overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
All right, let's get back to it. Cardinals 24, 49ers 23. The 49ers led 23-10 going into halftime. They went scoreless in the second half. Sure, the Jake Moody injury played a role in that, but they made, I believe, three trips to the red zone. Is that right? Three trips to the red zone in the second half? No points? That's bad. You can't have that. They've got to get in the end zone, man.
Yeah, this is... First off, I thought you were going to come in and say, I'm sorry, Niner fans. Niners aren't for real. Sorry they made you cry. But okay, like...
Wow. That's fantastic. No, that's really good. From the Miss Jackson intro. I'm really proud of you, man. That's a great joke.
Thank you. Yeah. But you're right. Like, the lack of execution for a team this loaded is just mind-numbingly... It's like, what? Like, my brain melts as to how bad they are. Like, you do all this work. You march 70-plus yards. You march 60 yards. You're there. You're 10 yards away, 20 yards away, and you can't get 20 yards when you just got 50 or 60? I get it. Like, it gets tougher to score there. And more importantly, it's so much tougher to pass in the red zone.
Yeah.
And when this team can't run the football and they drop back four times in a row, it's like, well... You're almost setting yourself up to fail, which shouldn't be the case when you have these stars. I'm watching Lamar Jackson do incredible things with less weapons. I'm watching Joe Burrow do, which he's an incredible quarterback, both those guys are, but it's like, why can they score but we can't when we have five times the weapons those teams do? It's just like, ugh.
whether it's play calling or quarterback play or whatever it is, I just don't. I don't buy the idea that losing Christian McCaffrey should matter this much. Like, obviously it matters. He's the offensive player of the year. He's super dangerous and makes it really tough to defend the 49ers. I totally get it. But as of, I haven't updated my math, but as of the 49ers being 1-for-4, they were down to 45% for the year, which would have been 30th in the league last season in red zone scoring. You're telling me with George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, Deebo Samuel, Jordan Mason, Kyle Juszczyk, and Kyle Shanahan as the head coach, they can't figure that out? That seems like a really good foundation to finding a solution, and they still haven't found one, man. And that's why, look, I'm not in the fire Kyle Shanahan boat. I'm not there. I really you have to get way down closer to rock bottom for me to be like, boot a coach that's been to 3 NFC title games and 2 Super Bowls. I'm not there. If you are, shouts to you. I can't get there. But I will say this is the time that I'm now turning my attention to the head coach. And I'm going, this is on him to figure this out. He's supposed to be the offensive genius. He's supposed to be the guy on the cutting edge of offensive football. Okay, the Niners are being defended a little bit differently. Okay, it's fine. You've had 5 weeks now. They've had 5 weeks to figure this thing out, and they're getting worse against this version of the Cardinals? This is not a good Cardinals team.
This is a rebuilding team.
Yeah, dude. They definitely were like, hey, I talked to my guy Jess Root, who covers the Cardinals for Cards Wire with USA Today, and he was like, man, if they can cover, not a big deal. If they can cover the 7.5, I'd be happy. I'd just keep it close. Be happy with that. And then they not only kept it close, they win. The inability to make a play on this 49ers team is baffling. And I wish I had a more firm answer.
Kyle Shanahan's biggest flaws are being put on display in a game like this.
Yep.
Some can argue some clock management stuff, definitely some red zone issues the past 5 weeks, if you will, now for sure. And I get there's been, Deebo missed some time, Kittle missed a game, and you felt like you're on the right track when you beat the Patriots last week. It wasn't a great win, but it was going in the right direction. You got the win, you're back at 500, the offense gets momentum, the defense plays better, which after today, it felt like it's been one step forward, two steps back every game this week or this year. And for a team that wants to compete, for a team that doesn't want to just compete for a wild card or a division, the idea is, hey, trying to win the whole thing this year.
Yep.
Like, you have no business being in that conversation if you can't do the simple things right.
That's it.
Devondre Campbell has been terrible.
Really bad.
In run defending, in pass coverage. Penalties have been a problem in previous weeks. Not so much today, but in pivotal downs. Juwan Jennings, false start, moves you back, 2nd and 14. Purdy gets sacked. Situationally, things are bad. Even Brock Purdy's interception, where it's like, why are you being lazy for a second? Like, why are you flipping balls and it's getting tipped? Like, that stuff previous quarterbacks in this regime would do, not guys that want to get paid $65 million a year, which, Brock started off okay first half. Oh, Brock's doing okay. It's not great, but it's going the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Second half, it was like they got to the cliff and said, who's jumping with me, boys? And it fell completely to the bottom. You score no points. You don't score in the red zone. Your defense for the entire first half, I thought, was excellent. It wasn't perfect, but third downs, they were getting off the field. Like, get a punt block, get you 7 points. Everything that has worked not in your favor for 4 weeks is starting to work in your favor in this game. And once that second half, like, once San Francisco walked into the tunnel, they got the field goal, feeling great. Who got some points? They walked out of the tunnel an entirely different team. It was like they got, they wouldn't touch that Space Jam ball, and their entire powers got sucked out of them. It was like, what's going on? Like, it's just so frustrating to watch a team that we know is so good play down to their opponents every week.
Yeah.
So frustrating.
Really frustrating, and I know if no Niner fans are frustrated, 888-957-9570, you can give us a call. That's also the Comcast business text line. The 510 said, when your quarterback is not A-League, you kick a lot of short field goals. At some point, you have to point at the quarterback. Man, he's young. He will get better. Yeah, Brock wasn't good enough today. Like, that's just, that's flat out. Nick in Berkeley. Got a couple people in Berkeley. Let's start with Nick. Nick, what'd you think of that Niners loss?
Man, it's just perplexing, man. Like, it's 2nd and 20, it's 4th and 25, late in the game, and or whatever it was when we went for it on fourth, and you don't even either run 25 yards to sticks to get the first down, or pooch kick it with the quarterback, or let Wisniewski try to kick a field goal. I mean, he is a kicker, actually. Like, he just kicked a field goal before that. So you might have tried to get that. It was just ridiculous, man. I just don't understand the play calling, the tip pass in the game. They were all in pass coverage. You could have just ran a draw right there and probably ran it for like 15 or 20, maybe. Who knows? You know what I mean? Like, but, I mean, the play calling, I mean, I was sticking with Shanahan up until this game, but, like, dude, like, he just goes into these lulls. And, like, the number 10 is not good for him. I don't know what it is about the number 10, the 10-point lead. It's just like, you know, I expect gloom and doom with a 10-point lead. But, why do we let Al Shaair get away? You know what I mean? He's killing it protecting this morning. Like, it's just like we let these key players go in certain little spots, man, and it always comes back to haunt us. It's like, okay, we pay people, and then we don't pay some people, and then it always costs us. Plus, we let all of our assistant coaches get away all the time. That's what I don't get. Like, you got to retain some coaches at some point. Look at what Kansas City's doing. They retain their coaches. Why can't we retain our coaches?
Thanks for the call, Nick. Appreciate it.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, the hard cap definitely affects how you're team building, right? And if you're letting, I mean, what are you letting Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk walk so you can keep Aziz Alshire? Right. Like, that's just sometimes
your third linebacker.
Right. That's just like, it's a, you don't plan on Dre Greenlaw tearing his Achilles in the Super Bowl, right? I they've been so good for so long that I have a hard time harping on the team building. And then with the coaching staff, Eric Bieniemy, the coach that the Chiefs had forever, is, I don't think he's in the NFL anymore.
He's in college, I believe.
Yeah, he got hired by Washington and then fired with Ron Rivera's coaching staff.
Right.
And then Steve Spagnuolo, nobody interviewed him. But you
Which
can't.
Is crazy.
You can't. When Mike McDaniel's your OC and he's not calling plays, and another team is going to hire him as a head coach, you can't block that. Like, yeah. So that's just if you have a passing game coordinator who's going to go call plays elsewhere, like, you can't block that. So I have a lot of complaints. Those aren't letting Aziz Alshire go, and the coaching stuff is not two of them.
I do get what the caller is saying from we could use that third linebacker right now.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Like, but it's like, you can't have that much forethought to go, oh, in 4 years or 3 years, we'll need that guy. It's like, okay, yes. Well, that guy's getting $10 million this year and we can't pay him.
Yeah.
But roster construction isn't the issue for me either.
Nope.
Like, this team has enough talent to win this game by 20 points.
Yep.
This team, last year, boat raced the Cardinals twice. Christian McCaffrey had 7 touchdowns, and I get not having that player certainly hurts the offense and what you can do, but it's not as if your offense isn't moving the football. You just can't score when it matters most. You can't score when you have the stars to get you down to the red zone. That should be the one place in time an offense like this should be able to do its job consistently. Christian McCaffrey shouldn't tank your ability to score touchdowns. Yeah, it's going to make you score less touchdowns, but it's not just, oh, you're going from 30 points a game to 27. Mm-hmm. You're going from 30 points a game to 16 offensive points, 30 points to 23 points. Your defense is on the field consistently because your offense can't sustain drives, mm-hmm. is passing the ball 3 straight times, running no clock off the field, and with your defense goes out there and plays bend, don't break, gets the field goal, and then boom, interception. Got to go back out there, boys. Let's hope they don't score. What do you think's going to happen? The guys are tired. They're exhausted.
Yep.
And for as cohesive as they played against the Patriots, it was like everyone was on different pages. I mean, it was basically Ayuk was great in the first half. Kittle got a touchdown. Yippee! Moody gets hurt. Tank. We don't know what's going on. Everything breaks into chaos. And in those moments, you need a head coach to say, look, focus.
Yep.
This is the job. This is what we're going to do. And Shanahan, for his entire tenure in San Francisco, for a variety of reasons, has won plenty of games. But there's always been these little tiny things. Super Bowl, overtime, we'll take the ball. Yep. Right? Why? Like, it's small stuff like that that is on display. And it has been since February. Mm-hmm. And it's on display even more so in a game like this.
Let's stay in Berkeley. Ryan is in Berkeley, wants to weigh in. Ryan, what do you got for us on overtime?
Hey, guys. Can you guys hear me? My reception's
kind of
bad.
You sitting on the wing of a 747?
I I might as well be. I got my kids in the car. We're driving from watching the game. I was just gonna say.
Hey, Ryan, we got to let you go. Your connection's a little rough. I would love to hear what you have to say, though, so if you can get into a better spot, please call us back. 888-957-9570. I've got a ton of people wanting to weigh in. Mason is in Sonoma. Can't spell Sonoma without Mason. That's kind of fun. Mason, what do you got for us?
Just a couple things. I think J.P. Mason looked a little injured, and that's why he got a little slow start in the first half. And also Purdy was just trying to do too much out there. Like, just take what the defense gives you, and, you know, don't take that sack that killed us. And then Kyle Shanahan's got to be the worst offensive play caller when he has a lead, two-possession lead. He doesn't know what he's doing. I don't know what to say.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Mason. Appreciate it. Yeah, man, it's like, it's I don't know if he gets too predictable or... I used to think he was too conservative in those spots, but now is it like, right. Is he over aggressive? They just execute really poorly when they're ahead in these games. I wish I had a thing I could point to.
And maybe this is it. And I'll ask you this, Kyle. When Brandon Ayuk said that defenses were scheming against them differently, playing him differently, that can be read as he's slow, didn't have the offseason, this, that, and the other, but. Is there maybe this Kyle Shanahan has become too predictable? Has the offense come, I don't want to say vanilla by any means, because it's not, but has it become, especially in the red zone, because you can't run the football, it has become very predictable, and they're dropping eight, saying, look, if you're going to beat us underneath, and we'll make you kick the field goal.
Right.
That's kind of what it feels like, where it's like this offense might be, despite the weapons it has, and the genius calling plays, is too predictable.
Which is crazy. And that might just be it. Ted Wynn of The Athletic did a really nice video on this about a way the 49ers handled a blitz against the Vikings and then how they switched up how they handled that same blitz against the Patriots. Maybe it's just that. Maybe it's just the constant tweaking and adjusting. The 49ers historically under Kyle Shanahan now 14-20 in the month of October. Maybe this is just it. Maybe they're going to hopefully split their couple of games this month and then make their adjustments, make their tweaks at the bye week, and then they take off like they always do. But like, that's just not any kind of way to live in the NFL. You can't
dig that hole.
No, like that's wild. And I get they're injured. I know they're banged up, but man, 10 points in the fourth quarter. They have plenty of talent to close those games out, especially against a team like the Rams and a team like the Cardinals. 888-957-9570. That's the phone number. You can also hit us on the Comcast business text line at that same number, 888-957-9570. Paul is in Pleasanton. Again, shout out to the 925. Paul, what do you got for us, man?
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my time. Look, this loss is not on the defense. It's not on Purdy. And you had 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. Just look at your analytics and look at your win percentage. So I'm going to come back on a point that I've been calling the station for a couple of years. Some of your weekday hosts don't like when I bring it up here. Kyle Shanahan, I think he's been exalted as this kind of offensive genius by national media and by the local media. And I think that's gotten to his head. So if you think about, like, he's very good at, like, picking players in fourth, fifth, sixth rounds. We'll forget about the first, second rounds. He's good at play design. I mean, he can take, like, no-name running backs and, you know, make them, like, into leading running backs. Where he's completely screwing up is clock management and play calling. Mm-hmm. So that's a fixable problem. I think just like, you know, you get your end-of-the-year review, you're told you're great at this, but you need to get better at this. I think whether it's Jed or whether it's the general manager need to just like tell him that, hey, maybe you just got too much in your head going on. Get like a play caller, get like a clock management person, you know, find somebody you can trust. You can always overrule him, but I think we need to like get it out of his head. Going back to like, look at the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl here. This has been a consistent problem on him not calling the right plays at the right time. Thanks for taking my time, guys.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, I don't know. They've been top 10 in scoring offense in, what is that, four of the last 6 years?
Yeah.
I don't think it's play calling as a whole. I think it's just game management and just clock management. Yeah. I genuinely really think that's it. And adjusting in season to how defenses defend. Like, it's the NFL season's not easy. But at the same time, man, that's all big picture stuff. Looking at the zooming into the last couple of weeks, or the last 3 weeks, I guess, they've got to do something different. There's got to be some kind of adjustment. But I don't foresee Kyle Shanahan dropping play calling. So, like, no, seriously, like, if Paul in Pleasanton believes that's what needs to happen, okay, right, that's fine. And if that was a thing I really thought that Shanahan would consider, then I would 100% be down to be like, yeah, hey, let's take a look at some of the play callers he could hire. But he's not going to do that. He'd sooner get fired. That's kind of why.
Shanahan is the end-all be-all in San Francisco. Like,
that's it.
You're not bringing somebody in to be like, hey, Kyle, let's take some off your plate. Kyle's like, no, I'm going to take the plate and eat the entire plate as well. Like, this is my thing, and you're not touching it. And I know Shanahan will get lambasted for a loss like this and against the Rams, and all rightfully so. I don't think this is directly a Kyle Shanahan issue. Players have to play. Brock can't throw two picks.
Yep.
Like, the loss isn't entirely on Brock Purdy. The defense played really good in the first half, got tired. When you're playing a scrambling quarterback, that's going to affect you, and you don't have the athletes to cover him. When James Conner says, you know what, I'm going to take the whole first half off. Come second half, that fourth quarter, it's the James Conner show, and run through your run defense that doesn't have Javon Hargrave and doesn't have the guys to stop it. You don't have Jair Brown. You don't have Hufanga, who are better run defenders than not. That hurts you. That's not on Kyle Shanahan. Yes, there are plenty of things that are on Kyle Shanahan. But Jordan Mason fumbling isn't on Kyle Shanahan. So yes, the bigger picture, like, your team, while I wouldn't say is spiraling, it's on a downward trajectory.
Yep.
Like, in 2021, you were 3-5. 2022, you were 4-4. You had some injuries to quarterbacks of all positions, right? And you dug yourself out of that hole. And 2-3 isn't that bad. You win against Seattle, you're 3-3, you're right back to where you were, had you won today, right? And you beat Seattle, you're 1-2 in the division, and cool. Thumbs up, everything's okay for at least a week, right? But has this team shown any promise they're going to fix their issues against better opponents? That's my concern. Like, you haven't shown the ability to beat good. You haven't beat good teams. You've lost against bad teams, and the issues you haven't fixed, and you're playing tougher teams in the next 3 weeks.
Yep.
What's going to get better? I don't know.
Yep. Yeah, that's that's a little bit my issue is, okay, Christian McCaffrey comes back. Okay, awesome. Maybe that fixes everything, but I think this team's problems go deeper than that. Let's head up to Chico, where Al is feeling disgusted. I think that speaks for a lot of 49er fans today. What's up, Al? You're on overtime.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know what's totally baffling about this game? I mean, I, like, was watching this game like a, you know, microscope, right?
Yeah, totally.
When Moody got hurt, right, it was on a kickoff. Why on earth, with this new kickoff rule, would you even take a chance, like, for injury, catastrophic injury like that, just give it to them at the 30, you know? Our defense was really playing well. And, I mean, who is that on Kyle? Does he have to make the final call, or is that the special teams coach? Because our special teams has literally dropped two games this year.
Yeah.
Two. I don't care about the block kick where we got a touchdown today, but I mean, it's been atrocious. And now the reality is Moody's probably out for the year.
No, he won't be out for the year.
All because of this call.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Al. It's a high ankle sprain for Jake Moody. That's typically like 6 to 8 weeks. I don't think we've gotten a prognosis yet, but I don't think Jake Moody's going to be out for the year. And that, to me, like, that's a player just running in and trying to make a football play. I don't think a coach is going to tell his kicker, hey, don't try and tackle somebody. You know, now do I want Jake Moody doing that necessarily? Like, not really.
Right. Right.
But, you know, props to him for trying. He got rolled up on a little bit. It stinks, but I don't, like, of all the things that went wrong today, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus for that play specifically.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Yeah, you can kick the ball out of the back of the end zone, but it's like, it's a football player making a football play. Do you want your linebackers not to tackle? You want your quarterback not to throw? Like, I get it, it sucks, and that was a... not the, you know, the biggest issue today, but it did change the game, potentially. We don't know exactly, but even then, you're going to hire a kicker on Monday, and you're going to bring somebody else in, and you know, we'll see what happens with Moody, and hopefully against Seattle, you can kick some field goals and get 3 points on the board, because you win this game if you do.
The 925 on the Comcast business text line, that's 888-957-9570. I see a bunch of people hanging out on hold right now. Please hang in there. We want to get to your calls. We want to hear from you. That is why we're here. But I see the 925 say, the fact that there was absolutely no backup plan is something that is unheard of. I've never seen it happen like that. Everybody has an emergency backup kicker. I was completely shocked. I feel like this is always what happens, is the punter has to try and kick field goals, and it doesn't always go well. Didn't the Giants have? Didn't the Giants have that? Or somebody had that in Week One where their kicker got hurt like during pregame. I think it was the Giants.
All I can think of is Chad Johnson kicking field goals for the Bengals and Patriots back in the day. That's all I could think of because he played soccer.
Didn't Doug Flutie kick a field goal once?
He may have.
Did the drop kick?
Flutie did it all. He did it all.
Yeah, the little pooch kick, the like drop kick where you bounce it off the ground and then kick it. Yeah, he definitely did that. Maybe Kyle Juszczyk needs to work on that. And we need to work on paying some bills real quick. I see Matt, J-Dog, Eric, and RJ. I see all of you guys. Keep hanging out. We will get to your call shortly. We got plenty more coming up on Overtime. Plus, we will hear from Kyle Shanahan. What did the 49ers head coach have to say about yet another disastrous collapse? We'll hear from him. We'll hear from you right here on Overtime. That's Sterling Bennett. I'm Kyle Madsen. And this is 95.7 The Game.